Marvelous grace, that's what we sung about, marvelous grace. And the last song we're going to sing is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Grace greater than all our sin. This is my favorite subject, my favorite word, grace, in the Bible, truth. This is a subject, a word, a truth, something that every church we are affiliated with goes by that name, Grace Church. We preach the gospel of God's grace. Grace is salvation. For by grace are you saved. Grace, you've heard these things before. But God forbid that we should take for granted His grace. May it become more amazing and more marvelous to us all the time. We've sung that song, Amazing Grace, many times. I hate to hear people sing it that don't believe. But boy, we ought to sing it all the time from our home. Grace is not an offer of God, it's an act of God. It's by grace, not works. It's God's will to show grace. It's not man's will. It's an act of God. It's something God does to us. It's something God does for us. It's something that Christ did for us. Grace is a gift bestowed upon us. It's not an offer that we accept or reject. It's something that God did for us in Christ and put it on us. Put it in us. Grace, grace. We call it unmerited favor. God loved and chose. Elected, yes, elected. You can't talk about grace without electing grace. That's where it started. God elected, God purposed to save, to be merciful to and show grace to, do good, do nothing but good unto people who are nothing but bad. That's amazing, isn't it? A multitude of people, not just a few, a multitude of people that did nothing to deserve it. Undeserved, unmerited favor. God purposed to save those who did nothing to deserve it. In fact, they did everything to deserve His wrath and His anger and His judgment, His condemnation. And you, who were children of wrath, even as others, but God, by grace, you say. You see? Grace is a gift. It means a gift. And once again, it's not something that God offers. Here's the gift, if you'll take it. You who were dead, you were dead. This gift was something that God did for you when you were dead. It's the gift of His Son. Nobody on planet Earth deserved for the Son of God to come down here. The story of Lot in Sodom is the story of us in this world. Okay? And God the Father and Christ said, let's go down and see if the sins of these people are as bad as they hear, as I hear. Here it is. He said, they declare their sin loudly, and I'm hearing it in heaven. They said, I'm going to go down and see if it's as bad as it sounds. And He did. He couldn't find 5 righteous. But Lot found grace. Yeah. That's me. That's you. Oh, the gift of God's Son. He came to this earth to save. Save who? Lost. Save who? Sinners. The gift of the Holy Spirit of God. He sent the gospel. A preacher to convict, to convince, to teach. Reveal the truth. The gift of repentance. You and I would never say I'm wrong. We would never say I'm sorry if God didn't send the Holy Spirit to convict us and convince us. You're wrong. Everything about you is wrong. give us, make us poor, mourn. We wouldn't mourn. The gift of faith, we wouldn't believe, though it's clear, the heavens declares glory, the firmament showeth his handiwork, day unto day utter speech, the things of God are clearly seen, we would not believe unless he gave us eyes. Faith is sight. The Holy Spirit to keep us. We will not stay in this path. We will not stay unless he keeps it. To lead us. That's what we looked at earlier. We need someone to lead us all the days of our life. Do you need this message? Do you need this? Grace. All of grace. The gift of God's Son to come here. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, when Galatians 5 says, talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit, the first fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Love. Love, okay. All right, look at our text here. It says here in verse 23, Ephesians 6. Peace be to the brethren. Where do we get peace? How do we have peace with God who's angry with the whole world? Christ. You know then. He is our faith. Love. Where's love come from? The son of his love. That's what Christ is called. The love of God. Oh, the love of God is revealed through Christ crucified. Faith. Where does that come from? It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he says here, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Truly. Every single, Paul, the Lord had Paul write 14 epistles. 10 of them are to the churches. And 3 of them are to young preachers, or 2 preachers, Timothy and Titus. Another one to a friend, Philemon. Okay. Every single epistle begins with grace and ends with grace be unto you. Doesn't it? You read it, John. You've all read it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Every single one of them. This is the only one that says. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Did you hear me? It's the only one that gives this condition. Grace be with you if you love the Lord Jesus Christ. In another place, well, 1 Corinthians, Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Now, we love him. John wrote this. He said, we love him. That wasn't presumption. It was a fact. They did love him, didn't they? Because he first loved. And if God loves you, you'll love him. You'll love Christ. Yes, he will. We all wonder, I've quoted this so many times, it's one of my favorite. By the way, I started reading in Gadsby's hymnal, William Cowper and John Newton. When you start about number 280, there's one by Cowper, one by Cowper, one by Newton. Another one by Newton keeps going. But Newton's is right in the middle of that. He says, 'Tis a point I long to know, and it often gives me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? If I love him, why am I like this? Why my heart's so hard, and prayer is a burden, and everything just bothers me. How could I love him? How could I know him? Now look within me, says, all vain and dark and wild, and I'm filled with unbelief and sin. How can I call myself his child? Anybody? If I pray or read or hear or read, sin is in everything I do. You that love the Lord indeed, sincerely, tell me, is it this way with you? This is striking a nerve with you. It's striking a chord with you. Before I go any further, there was a time I could have read that to you and meant nothing. In fact, you wouldn't have been here to hear me read it. I don't care. Why are you here? And you're hearing this. And this is touching you. Right? He said, I mourn my stubborn will. I find my sin, the grief, and a thrall that is an aggravation. Should I grieve for what I feel if I did not love at all? Could I joy and joy His saints to meet and choose the ways I once abhorred and find at times this promise sweet if I did not love the Lord? No. Can you relate to that? We don't talk about our love for Him. We're ashamed of it. It's so weak. It's so frail. But it's better be there. As little as it better be there. How do you know? How can you know? I just told you. Newton just told it for you. Love is in the heart. With the heart, man believes. You don't know God. You're not saved by believing the doctrines of grace. You're not saved in believing a sovereign God. The devil believes and trembles. You're not saved by believing salvation is by grace. The devil knows it's by grace. He knows it. It's the love of the truth. It's the love of the truth. Love is in the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto salvation. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Life. Hearts, affections, desire. Set your affection, Colossians 3. Set your heart, your affection on things above. Where? Why? What? That's where Christ is. When Christ is, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with, if your heart is set on Him. Now you didn't set your heart on Him. You didn't decide to love Him. God gave you this gift. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Number one. Faith? Yes. Hope? Yes. The greatest of these is love. All right, let me see. My dad used to always say, let me see if I can make good on this. What it means, you know. He said, the grace be with all those who really love the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Romans 5 that the love of God is shed abroad in the heart. The love of God is shed abroad in the heart. Do you love God as God? How many times have we looked at that? But do you... And I know you do. And some of you, I know. Many of you, if not most. I know you love. When I start talking about God being God, and I can't do it silently, quietly, without some enthusiasm. Especially in this day and age when they've got a God that they have to let be God. Do you not love that God is God? That He's going to be God no matter what. And we don't let God. God came through the preacher, sent the gospel to let you know that He's God. Who? You! This is election. How many people can hear this and not hear it or hear it and get mad? I don't like that. But God chose you and said, you will like this. You will love this. You will thank me to high heaven for electing you. Our God is God. How could anybody have any peace, any comfort, any security, anything, if God's not God? God is our Creator. What does that mean? That means He made everything. That means He owns it. Do you want God to own you? Do you want God to be in absolute sovereign control of you and your children and everything about you? Do you want that? Only those whom God loves does He give this love for His absolute sovereignty over them. Here's the difference between the world and God's people. The world does not want their destiny in anyone's hands but themselves. They don't want anybody in charge of their destiny. God's people, we don't want any part of our destiny. We want Him to be absolute control of everything. We don't know what He did. We don't know where He came. Oh Lord. He said, I'll perform it. I'll do it. I'll do it all for you. His works of creation declare His glory. Don't you see His hand so clear? His work of salvation, His greatest work, salvation, is His glory. It's 100%. Don't you love His glory? Do you love God's glory? If you really love God's glory, you will hate man taking any glory whatsoever. You will hate pride as much as God hates it. You'll hate it when you see it in people's faces. Haughtiness, arrogance, beautiful woman, look at me. Ain't I something? You're nothing. A proud, strong man, you ain't nothing. Don't you hate pride? God hates it. Why? Because it's stealing His glory. Who made you strong? Who made you beautiful? Who gave you what you got? Who made you rich? Who did this? God did it. We know that, don't we? And for anybody to take any glory at all, if you love God's glory, you hate pride. And you especially hate it in yourself. Do you love God? You love His glory. You'll hate to hear anybody say anything about your God. These signs, these slogans, everything. You'll hate it. When somebody takes His blessed name in vain, it's like a knife cutting you in the heart. Take my mother's name. Take my father. Don't take my God's name in vain. Is that the way you feel? This is love. This is love. He loves His kingdom. Do you love this world? The older I get, the longer I'm here, the more vile it becomes. Doesn't it? Filthy, I smell it. I want to dwell in a place wherein dwelleth righteousness. Are you ready to get out of here, Lot? Huh? We're standing in the gate, Brother Kelly, you and I. Michael, we're standing in the gate like Lot, watching at the post of his door. We're standing in the gate. Did somebody come get me? Aren't we, John? Yes, he's coming. Rahab, you like this place? All I've ever done in this place is sin. This place got a hold of me. And would have taken me down if God hadn't sent two men to tell me the truth. I'm waiting on that trumpet to sound. You love His kingdom. You love His church. You think this is a lovely place? Do you? A heavenly place? Is this heaven on earth to you? Is it? These people. Look at them. Who we got here? Who we got? A horse trainer, a railroader, a mechanic, a truck driver. A bunch of nobodies. But God. And these are my saints. There's a few wise and mighty and noble, and just a few. But mostly they're a bunch of nobodies from nowhere. Galileans. Franklin Countyans. Can anything good come out of Franklin County? That's what the world thinks. Can anything good? That's what Roanoke said. We're in Roanoke County. Well, they're joined together at the hip. You love these people. These are my people. Huh? Man, there was a time when I was a lot younger and my teens and early 20s, that Shoot, I'm too cool to dwell with these squares. And that's a fact. And then the Lord really accepted. And then a man like Henry Sword became my best friend. Stephen, nothing I'd rather do than go down and sit in that old one room general store around that wood stove and talk about the gospel. And we're still here, but that's grace. Worship. Do you love what we're doing right now? This is what we're doing here. We no entertainment. Nothing. There's nothing going on here. But one thing. This is all that happens Sunday, Wednesday. This is all we do here. Same thing. You sit and I preach. We sing and we pray and we read and that's it. And we go come back Wednesday and do the same thing. Do you love this? There was a time it was torture. My parents were trying to kill me. It's a fact, isn't it? This is the love of God. Shed abroad in your heart. Now here it says in our text, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. What's His name? What's His first name? What's His chief glory? Huh? Who is this? What Jesus is this? Lord. Grace be with them that love the Lord Jesus Christ. Barnard used to say so many things that make people so mad. He said, Jesus doesn't save. It's the Lord Jesus that saves. If He's not Lord, He can't save. We can't save. He said, you can't have Him as Jesus unless He's first your Lord. And this whole world, you know, is talking about Jesus this and Jesus that. Which one is it? Who is He? Describe Him. Well, God's people can. He's Lord. And so that's just not with the lips. They believe in their heart. They know. They know and they believe He's Lord. That man who came down here, he's not just a man. We know why he was born of a virgin. Because he's God. We know why he was born of a virgin. Because he's not the son of Adam. He's the son of God. Not the son of Mary. He's the son of God. He's God manifested flesh. He's Lord. This is not just something, well, I believe He's God, so I'm saved. No. Your salvation, your hope, and your everything depends on that man who came here being God. Because if he's not God, he's a liar. He's the biggest liar ever lived. He's Lord. He's sovereign ruler. God has put all judgment into the hands of Jesus Christ. They say, well, Jesus wouldn't judge anybody. Hold on now. He's judging everybody. He sits on the right hand of the Majesty on high as judge of the universe, isn't it? Right now. He's not outside somebody's heart door. No. He's on the circle of the earth. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. This is the Lord Jesus. You love His Lordship? Did you make Him Lord? No, you know better than that. And you love the fact that God made Him Lord. He made Him your Lord. Surely, John, shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Are you one of them? Here's two. Lord. I'm not just spouting doctrine here. This is our hope. It's in a person. And that person is God manifest in the flesh. Lord. The Lord is someone, a sovereign is someone who does as He pleases, with whom He pleases, because He pleases. Do you love that? They said, we will not have this man reign over us. Well, I'm sorry, but He does. And here's the love that God puts in the hearts of His people. Come and reign over us. Reign over us. He does as He pleases. He has sovereign will. You cannot know God and believe Jesus Christ if you believe free will. You cannot. You don't know God. You don't know man. You don't know salvation. You don't love God. You don't believe Christ. You can't. He's the only one that says, I will. And I'm so glad. I don't want my will. Do you? I love His will being done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I love that. He's the Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Sid Kendo. John's smiling. You say that name to the average Jehovah Witness out there, and I've done it. They don't have a clue what you're talking about. Jehovah Shalom. What are you talking about? The Lord, our peace. Jehovah Ra, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord who provides everything. The Lord who's in charge, like Joseph, of all the storehouses. He has it all. I'm so glad it's all in His hand. You know what? This Lord gives. If you get it, you'll get it from Him. And He takes it away. He doesn't ask you. Aren't you glad? You would never part with anything, anyone. It's up to Him. Aren't you glad? He gives and He takes away. He gave it. It's His to give. It's His to take away. Do you love that? Would you want to know what the future holds? Do you want to know what's going to happen? No, you don't. No, you don't. But if you know Him, you have peace. He's Lord. He's Lord. Oh, my Lord, our everything. Jesus. Grace be to them who love the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is Savior. I love His name. I love that name, don't you? Jesus. It means Savior. It means Joshua. Not everybody loved Joshua, brother. Thomas, when Joshua came throughout all of... They hated him. They wanted him dead. Didn't they? It bothered Joshua? What's Joshua doing? He's taking everything that's his. Taking everything and everyone that God gave him. Joshua, go in and get them. Anybody bows to you, anybody pleads with you for mercy, show mercy on it. If they don't, kill them. That's the Jesus of Scripture. But He came to save. He came to save. Who did He come to save? Well, what do you do when you save somebody, huh? Why do they need saving? What does that mean? They were lost? Huh? They were lost. He said, I've come that they might have life. What does that mean? To give them life. What does that mean? You didn't have life, you're dead. He's Savior. That's His name. He didn't try to give life, but like, He's life. Aren't you glad? It's your sons and daughter, your children, your lost spouse. It's up to Jesus Christ, not up to anybody or anything. It's up to Him. And when He says the word, John, it's done. She's going to believe. Aren't you glad? Because you'd be wringing your hands with despair. I can't. No, it's hopeless. No, it's not hopeless. Christ is our hope. It wasn't hopeless for me. And if it's in the fullness of time, He sends His Son through the gospel, she's going to believe. She's going to come and sit and love this gospel. Just like you. It's all up to Him. He's the Savior. He didn't come to try to save. He came to save. He didn't come to make a down payment. He came to pay for it all. He didn't come to show you the way. He came to be the way. He's the Savior. That's His name. If He doesn't save every single person He came to save, don't call Him Jesus. Don't call him Jesus. Ask your Armenian neighbors and all that. Say, can Jesus save anybody? Can he save anybody? And they all say, yes, he can. Then ask them this question.
Why doesn't he?
Why doesn't he? Because they won't let it. Oh, hold on there. I thought he could save anyone. But they won't let, then he can't unless they let him. Wrong Jesus. This is Jesus. Came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, when he finds them. Not if. When he finds them. I'm the good shepherd, he said. And when I find them, I lay them on my... No, here he takes the first... You take the first step. No. He lays them on his shoulder and takes them all the way back to glory. He says, here they are. My sheep that was lost. I found them. Jesus. You love this Jesus? The Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. That's Messiah. Christ. Messiah. That's what that means. Messiah. Covenant head. The Messiah is a covenant head. All Israel knew that their hope was in a covenant head, the second Adam from above. Only one God except. God deals with two people. Adam, the first Adam, and Christ, the second Adam. Do you know what that meant? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. The world talks about covenant. You need to make a covenant. We'll make a covenant. The covenant. Hold on. There's one covenant that matters. It's the one that God made. An oath and a covenant. And he made that with Christ. Okay? In Adam, all die. You keep this law. You don't do this. And you'll live. If you do this, you'll die. In Adam, all die. So here Christ comes. Christ. Second Adam. If you keep this, they'll live. If you do this, I'll accept them. It's all up to him. One person. The Christ. The covenant head. It's all dependent on him. He gets all the glory. He did all the work. And so he gets all the glory. And here it is in three words. Christ is all. Do you love that? Do you love that Christ is all? Christ. He's the one coming to destroy the world. Yes, he is. People, places, and things. Wipe them out. He's the one coming to take his people out of this world. To take them to his eternal place, to be with him, to behold his glory, to worship him forever. That's it. Christ. What do you think about that? Let me close with this story. You've heard it so many times. Go back to Hosea. Hosea. Book of Hosea. I wanted to get to this. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Hosea. We love him. We do. I asked you this. Do you love God as God? Do you love his truth? Do you love his church, his kingdom? Do you love Christ is Lord. You love that He's the only Savior. That He's the Christ. He's the covenant. Do you love Him? Do you? We love Him. Here's why. Because He first loved you. He said. You had nothing to do with this love. And since you had nothing to do with this love, you didn't come up with it, you can't lose it. I got some real good news here. If God has put this love in your heart, you can't lose it. If you're in Christ, you can't get out. John, I'd love, if you never say anything else, you said this. He said, I can't get away. He comes to seek and to save his law, and they can't get away. His arm's not short. They ain't fast enough. And I think his brother Kelly said, I tried. Tried to get away. They couldn't. And that's good news. Hosea, the whole book, is the book of Christ. It's all about Christ and his forlorn people. It begins in chapter 3, just real quickly with me, would you? chapter 3 said, the Lord said, go love a woman beloved of her friend, but she's an adulteress. According to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, what do they love? Wine, women, and song and stuff. That's all they're doing. Go love them. Christ came. The love of God. Chapter 4. Look at chapter 4. And Ephraim is the name for his bride, his people. Ephraim. Supposed to be fruitful. Not. And verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17. Ephraim is joined to his idols. Leave him alone. Don't bother with it. Let him go. Let him go. That's what he wants. He doesn't want God. He doesn't want me. He doesn't want... Leave him alone. All he wants is this world and the stuff in it. Is that you? Look at chapter 11. Chapter 11. Ephraim and Israel are the same. Verse 1. Chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. When Israel was a child, I loved him. I called my son out of Egypt. You know, all these children are so beautiful when they're young, aren't they? Man, oh man. Oh, they're just beautiful, aren't they? Well, if they get older and sin gets a hold of them, the world and pride and all that, they get real ugly. They can get real bad. Real bad. And that precious little beautiful son that gave his mother and father so much joy, that daughter who was the apple of her daddy's eye, becomes a harlot. Man, it's bad. It can happen. It happens all the time. When he was a child, in verse 4, he said, I drew them with cords of a man, bands of love. Cords of a man? What's that mean? Christ was bound to you. Bind the sacrifice to the altar. That's Christ. Cords of a man. I'm going to take off the yoke on their jaw. Look down in verse 8. Are you looking at Hosea 11:8? How can I give you up, Ephraim? Leave him alone. That's what he wants. Let him have it. A lot of things happen. He gets in bad shape. She gets in bad shape. And then he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I can't give you up. Let him alone. What do you need with him? I don't need anything with him. But I love him. I love her. I love her. Look at chapter 14. And I quit. Chapter 14. It says in verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Mine anger is turned away from him. God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, herein is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Mine anger's turned away. His anger fell on Christ crucified. And then so verse 8, here's how it ends. Oh, Ephraim. Listen to Ephraim's dying words. Let these be mine. Verse 8, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I've heard him. I've heard what he did for me. I've heard his mercy and his grace to me. I've heard what Christ did on the cross for me through the gospel. And it's amazing. It's just amazing grace is what it is. 236.